You're listening to a podcast from the Cinema Geekly Podcast Network. We're the geeks you deserve and the ones you need right now.
Welcome to Hear the Walking Dead, Cinema Geekly's all-encompassing omnibus Walking Dead podcast. It is Anthony and Aurora, and we are back to talk about The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon, The Book of Carol. It's such a long title. I don't know if there's parentheses or another colon or a hyphen, but
they should have just called it The Book of Carol. People would, I would have watched.
Right? And also The Walking Dead on the title card, it's just a tiny, The Walking Dead.
It's too much.
Daryl Dixon! So, we're covering episode one. In true Cinema Geekly fashion, Aurora, we both forgot that this show aired. It is, by the way, we are recording this at time of recording. It is October 10th. Mm-hmm. This aired on September 29th. This is October the 4th. Did I say the 10th? Because I meant the 4th.
October the 4th.
But yes. This aired originally on September the 29th. The next episode is literally 2 days from now. And we just completely forgot. And the worst part is we knew this was coming.
And we were excited about it.
Yeah. Like a few months ago, I think I texted you to be like, don't forget, Daryl's coming back in like two months. And it's like, we won't forget. And then, of course, I got a text not by Aurora, but by producer Stacy, who was like, did you watch the Daryl show? And I'm like, oh, my God, what? And she's like, yeah, it already aired. And I'm like, oh, my God. Nope, had no idea.
Listen, we have a brand to maintain.
Yeah.
This is part of our brand for getting The Walking Dead is coming back.
Right. If Nike started making, like, video game consoles, people would be like, what? No, you guys make shoes. This is the same thing. Like,
We forget about
The very subject that we podcast about. We forget when it returns, and then we're like, oh, we're such big fans. We really are. We really do love these shows.
We really are. We're just adults.
We're just adults. That's what I'm going to go with. So I'm so busy. I have kids. That's right. Aurora has a kid. I have kids.
Listen,
we're so busy.
Yeah, I have a toddler. That's my excuse.
So episode one is French words that when I put into Google Translate meant the kindness of strangers. Mm-hmm. I won't dare say them in English. I may play, I don't know if this will show up on the podcast, but the Google
La gentillesse des étrangers.
I just played, you probably didn't hear it, but I just played the Google French words. So that's what it's called. Hopefully that'll end up in the podcast and there just was an awkward silence for 3 seconds. But the English words are the kindness of strangers. And that is in fact what at least most of this episode was about. But boy, Aurora, do I have, I mean, maybe look, maybe something about the end of this episode. There's something that happens that just broke my brain, and maybe they thought of it too over at The Walking Dead.
I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say because I have a lot of thoughts too.
Okay. Like it broke my brain when I saw it, and maybe the people over at The Walking Dead, they've already thought about this and it's going to be something that is tackled in the next episode.
We'll see.
Thus alleviating my broken brain syndrome. But this is like akin to the time, do you remember in the episode of The Walking Dead where they were in, maybe it was Walking, I'm positive it was Walking Dead, where they were in the flooded basement. And you're like, why didn't they just do this? Like the easy solution.
Right.
It's something akin to that where it's like, it just stuck out so obvious to me of like, wait, what do they think they're doing? Anyway, we'll get to that. First, 2 weeks after choosing to save Laurent and stay in France for the time being, Daryl starts training the boy to fight the undead and clashes with Lo Sang about his more violent ways compared to the Union of Hope's pacifism. No offense to Lo Sang, but I had forgotten he existed completely.
Me too.
Laurent, I remembered. Yes. Because it's like he followed Daryl like a ninja, right. And Daryl had no idea he followed him mm-hmm. the whole time. Daryl struggles with a feeling of not belonging and missing those he left behind in good old U.S. of A. After Janae's mm-hmm. troops capture Falou and Emile, Daryl leads a raid and rescues them, although Janae manages to escape before he can shoot her. Back in Maine, Carol finds the auto repair shop where Daryl had collected walkers, recovers his lost crossbow, and forces the men to tell her that Daryl has been, in fact, taken to France aboard a ship. Mm-hmm. Searching for a way across the ocean, Carol befriends a man, Ash Patel. Ash, whose young son has died, owns a small plane. He obsessively stays on his property, which has a shrine to his son. Rather than moving elsewhere, despite the fact that Carol entered Ash's greenhouse without permission, Ash still saves Carol from a walker attack, which she probably should have died from, honestly. Yeah. It was a very mm-hmm. un-Carol-like move, but it worked out yep. for her in the end. Mm-hmm. By playing on his sympathies, because Carol is not a very good person in this episode.
No, she's not.
And claiming mm-hmm. that her daughter Sophia is in France, Carol is able to convince Ash to fly her there so she can search for Sophia. Ash and Carol fly away just as walkers overrun his compound during a power failure that let them through the gate. Aurora, mm-hmm. what did you think of episode one?
All right, so I want to start by saying that I think I've mentioned this so many times in this podcast. I do love Daryl and Carol. Mm-hmm. My two of my favorite characters in the show, and Daryl being my favorite character.
Absolutely.
I do feel like this is very, very Walking Dead, where there's such a huge coincidence. There's such a huge moment of, you know, things conspiring so that everything is perfect. Like, I feel like in the zombie apocalypse, if I wanted to go to France, I would give up. I know mm-hmm. I won't be able to. And in a matter of like a day, Carol finds a way to get to France.
Naturally, she just happens to find a guy.
I mean, from going to this place where Daryl was working, and she just arrives casually saying, "Hey, I'm peaceful. I just need help, you know, with my, I need some mechanical work." I was like, what's this? Is this a Walking Dead?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't walk into a place like that and be like, "Hey, I need help." Like, you will be shot. Yeah. That's what I've learned in this show.
I mean, I like Carol too, but the way she was talking to this guy, she's like, I didn't believe anything she said.
Oh, 100%.
I'm shocked this guy did.
Yes. Yes.
He believed
and they,
her.
And they come out with Daryl's crossbow and just put it on top of a car and just leave it there. And I'm like, listen, I know that it's like five guys against one woman, but mm-hmm. it's still the zombie apocalypse, and you just left a very powerful weapon.
They're lucky she didn't kill him. Yeah.
Yes. You do not underestimate anybody.
And she told him where the guy is that she locked in the trunk last season.
Yes.
So.
Yes. Yeah, that guy has been locked there since last season. Wow. Yes. Yep.
She's like, hey, he's got like an hour left of oxygen. I'm like, wow, that is impressive.
Yes. No food, no water, but oxygen.
Somehow, yeah.
But anyway, like that initial, you know, scene happened, and I was like, okay, here we go with like things just happening conveniently for characters.
Mm-hmm.
And then she finds Ash. Yeah. And like this, I mean, how many years has it been in the zombie apocalypse? How are still people trusting others?
Yeah. I mean, the crazy thing is, and there's one thing where I'm just like, wait, what? Maybe, I don't know. Maybe they had a, Because you got to remember how long we've been in this apocalypse for. It's been
it's been a long time.
It's been more than a decade at this point. 13, 14, 15, 16 years, something like that. A very long time. So, like, his kid was born in it.
Yes.
And this guy himself was probably really fairly young-ish when it happened. So, like, he more or less grew up in it. I don't understand how they had a photograph of their kid on a swing. Because, like, I mean, maybe they found an encampment that had, like, a camera
they found
that
a park, an abandoned park.
Yeah. I mean, maybe, like, that felt like... It felt out of place. It felt like something like they kept with them since before the apocalypse. But it's like, I don't know, maybe your kid died really early on into it or something. But I don't remember. I don't know. Anyway.
That's a good point. I didn't think about that, but that's a good point. Yeah.
The timing felt kind of weird. He seemed like a younger person. I do really like, despite the fact that Carol lied a bunch and said this was about finding her daughter because she was just using it as leverage because this guy misses his son, which, you know, at what point do you tap him like 7 hours into your plane ride and be like, actually, I just want to be honest with you. This isn't about my kid. She died a long time ago. But like my friend is over there and we're just.
She's not going to say anything.
Yeah, just going
to She's not going to say anything until she gets to France. And then she's going to be like, hey, by the way, psych.
Anyway, I do like that because he's like, you can sleep in this barn. And that like actually gave her kind of like PTSD a little bit about her daughter. So it's like nice to see that, like, it's not nice to see Carol suffer with PTSD, but it's nice to see, like, after everything that's happened, like, Sophia hasn't been forgotten about after all of this time. And she does talk a little bit about, like, her life before. And it's like, man, that does feel like so many lifetimes ago. I'd forgotten about, like, her ex and all of that stuff. So that was crazy. The thing that really struck me, and again, like I said, maybe they've thought of this already and it'll be tackled in the next episode. But they're in Maine, which is, you know, like the tippy top of the United States. There's no way they're flying that plane to France, Aurora. That is a single engine, two seater. Like, there's no way the gas tank on that thing is big enough to make a transatlantic flight.
And that's what I'm saying, because
I saw this and my first thought, instead of like being like, oh, here they go on their thing, my first thought was, I need to Google this and see like how far a plane like that could actually travel before they would need to refuel. And the answer is like 5 to 6 hours maybe. And I'm like, it's going to take a lot longer than that to fly. Like, they're going to need to refuel while they are over the ocean.
Okay. But so here's the thing. There's a moment where they're looking at a map and he's explaining to her, how, you know, they're going to make it. And I think
is this for real? Did I fall asleep?
No. But listen, he says,
okay,
we're going to make it. We're going to stop in Greenland.
Okay.
Refuel and then keep going. And I was like, okay, first of all, there's no functioning airports. So you're going to, you need to find a place to land, trusting that it's safe.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, and he pointed this out, there's no way for them to know the weather.
No.
Wind. this is a death mission. And that's what I'm saying. If I was in this situation and I had to get to France, I feel like this is like impossible in this universe, in this world.
Yeah.
So the fact that this guy has an amazing land. He has a greenhouse with food. He has a great house and he has everything he needs there. And he just meets Carol for 2 days and he's like, you know what? Yeah, let's go. Like, what?
Okay, you know what? I mean, other than the fact that he's willing to just give up everything all of a sudden because he's like, I had a son too, and I'd do anything for him.
I mean,
outside of that, okay, I completely missed the part where he's like, we're going to do Greenland. We're going to fly to Greenland. Like, outside of the fact that the odds are very against them because things do depend on weather and we have no idea what it's going to be like when we get to where we're going. Yeah. Hypothetically speaking, this is possible from a time standpoint.
So, from a time standpoint, it is.
From Maine to Greenland, it's about 4.5 hours flight. And from Greenland to France, it's about 5 hours.
Okay.
So this is possible if they actually stop and refuel. But of course, like, the conditions have to be perfect.
Yes. But also, like that, talking about things aligning for the characters in a very, like, magical way, she points out, she's like, well, where are we going to go get all the fuel for this? And he just happens to have all the fuel.
of course.
Because I guess he created it, like, through, like, his greenhouse.
Sure.
And I was like, well, that's convenient.
Yeah.
Sure. There's a lot of, like, coincidences.
That's so much of it. Like, I'm curious, like, now I want to know what kind of fuel they use and, like, how you would even, not cost, but, like, how much, because the cost obviously isn't an issue.
Yeah. I mean, you're risking, that. Let's say that you make it to Greenland. Let's say that you do. Right? Mm-hmm. You don't know what's happening in Greenland.
Yeah.
Like, what if you just get stuck there?
What if it's worse?
What if it's worse? It's colder.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, maybe it won't be as bad. Maybe it'll be nice. It could be.
That's a gamble. It's a gamble you take.
Yeah. Like, it. I mean, maybe they get there and, like, you know what? Let's just stay here. You know, what do you say? Forget about our friends.
Yeah, Greenland is just thriving. There's no zombies there. It's just normal. That'll be great.
So, for the record, I don't believe this guy because...
Ash?
Yeah.
Okay.
only because... So, I'm like, what would, like, a small airplane use? Would it just use, like, gas like you would for, like, a car? No. It uses aviation fuel, which is different from regular gasoline, and you make it by refining raw gasoline to produce high-octane components, and there's, like, a multiple process thing. And it's like, I don't think this guy is doing that in his greenhouse. I don't see it happening, but, you know, maybe he, but I don't buy it. But I mean, look, that's like the magic of the TV show or whatever. Like, sometimes that sort of stuff happens. The only issue I take with it is, like, it seems to just happen too many times in The Walking Dead.
Yes.
It's like, man, how am I going to get over there? Well, I guess I'll just slip on this banana peel and land in the backyard of this guy who happens to have an airplane and enough fuel to be able to take me to where I need to go. I just need to lie to him and have him believe me, which he will. And even though by now no one should believe anybody in the zombie apocalypse.
No one. And this is after he left to find her abandoned car, like, doing her a favor. And he comes back to his place totally covered by walkers because she broke in a place that was forbidden to her. Like, I would be so pissed. I would throw her out. But instead, he's like, you know what? I'm just going to leave everything behind, including my son's, you know, grave. And I'll go with you to another country. Like, it's just, it seems.
Yeah, for sure. No. I mean, and look, I don't want to be ageist here at all, but this blends into the trust factor. Like, if you see somebody who is old enough, like, who's an older person like Carol, and they are alive and out there on their own, that's because this person has done bad things.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
They haven't survived by being a kindly older lady. Like,
yeah, she's alone.
Yeah.
That should tell you everything you need to know, that she's dangerous.
Yes. Or at least not to, like, outright trust.
And I mean, she dropped also some red flags because he asked mm-hmm. her, "Oh, what do you think Sophia will be interested in now?" And she's like, "I don't know." And I was like, "Well, that's a red flag. You should know."
Based off of her past likes, you should be able to at least lie about that. I mean, like she goes into like his sacred shrine essentially for mm-hmm. her son because, you know, because she actually wants to get like intel on him. But when like he's so mad about this and she's like, "Oh, shucks. I thought we could be friends because I don't really have any friends. And I just miss having friends. And I thought we could be like best friends." And he's like, "Aw, yeah, I guess you're right." Like he's like Padme in Star Wars Episode 2. Where, like, after Anakin's like, "Oh, I found my mom, the sand people captured her, and she died, so I got really mad, and I killed all the sand people, including the women and children." And then she's like, "Aw, Anakin, I feel so bad for you." Instead of being like, "Oh my god, you monster." Yes. That's this guy. That's Ash in this. He's just willing to believe anything Carol says, and I feel kind of bad for him.
But this is also why I feel like it's just not believable, because like we talked about, this zombie apocalypse has been going on for a long time.
Yes.
He's someone that has land with resources and a plane.
Yeah.
He must have had to face people trying to break in, take his stuff.
100%. Right. Like, so, he would learn to not trust.
Yeah, he must be, with this amount of resources, mm-hmm. he must be the most untrustworthy, like, untrusting guy? I don't know. Like, he should not trust anybody. So that's why I feel it's so hard to believe that he's so on board with this.
It just feels so weird. I mean, look, maybe Maine has had it easier than most people, and like everybody in Maine is just, maybe it's like Minnesota nice, where everybody is just so kind. You know, like everyone else in Maine, like they've never dealt with anyone like Carol before. Somebody who says things mm-hmm. that might not be true or that they might not mean. So they're just confused by her ways. maybe everybody in Maine is just so innocent or gullible, perhaps. But it feels weird. And I know we're talking about all the Carol stuff and we haven't touched on the Daryl stuff at all, but that's just because like there wasn't a lot of Daryl stuff really in this episode. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like they gave Daryl a mission to go on and he went on it and he ran into Janae and he shot Janae and then an explosion happened. So Janae was able to run away and Daryl wasn't able to finish her off. And that's kind of it. It was nice to see him.
That's kind of it. But it was also kind of like going with the theme of the episode being like a lot of contradictions happening, because mm-hmm. this guy that runs the place that Daryl's at complains to him that he doesn't want training the kid because they have, I guess, this pacifist approach, mm-hmm. which is crazy to me as well.
And Daryl's like, "I don't want to be violent either."
And I was like, "Sure, Daryl, okay."
I mean, I don't know. I think I kind of buy it. Like, he doesn't want to be, but he knows, like, that's the world.
But you have to. Yeah. But then a few hours later, that same guy's like, "Yeah, go be violent."
Yeah. So, I guess I see your point. Get the guns.
So, yeah, that was a contradiction, too.
A lot of contradictions in episode one. I'm curious to know where your score landed, though.
This is hard for me because, I mean, this is not new in The Walking Dead. We've talked about this before where, you know, plot lines tend to be a little bit convenient for characters.
Yeah.
But I guess, you know, without the convenience, we wouldn't get Carol to France. So,
right, there's got to be some way to
there
have
has to
happen.
Be a way to do it. And you know, like I said, I love Daryl Dixon and Carol as characters, and I'm looking forward to the show.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking forward to when they actually get together, how that's gonna be, and the things that both of them are gonna do in this season.
Yeah,
I'm looking forward to it. It's just that this episode, I feel like, was too convenient.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm gonna give it a neutral 3.
Okay.
I'm excited about it, but I was annoyed by the things that we mentioned.
I landed on a 3. as well. Yeah. I actually was going to be a little bit lower than that until you were like, no, Anthony, actually, you must have dozed off or were looking at your phone for a minute because they did explain their flight plan. And then while you were talking, I was looking up the logistics of that flight plan. And I'm like, oh, I guess the math works out. Okay, I'll give it a 3.
I love that you actually looked into the flight plan.
I had to because I'm like, wait a minute. Okay, like, is that feasible though? Or are they just like, okay, it is feasible. All right, that makes sense.
I guess it's fine.
Because like you have no idea like how much this was breaking my brain when I thought they were just going to fly straight from Maine to France. I'm like, is there like I'm looking up on Google, like, is there a way to refuel from the inside? And they're like, no. And they're like, and actually, they're like, actually, in planes that small, the gas tanks are like in the wing. So like, you'd literally have to like be outside to refuel it with like a hose and everything.
It's not terrifying at all.
And I'm like, this sounds like this doesn't sound very realistic at all. And you're like, nah, dude, you just you weren't paying attention for like 25 seconds. And they did explain. So I've raised it up to a 3.
Okay.
Like, yeah, you're right. We've learned to sort of navigate through some of these things and still have fun with the show, which I did. Mm-hmm. I still had fun. Like, 3 is not bad. It's just not great either. But I am hoping for great.
Exactly.
Based off of the episode title of the next of our next episode of the Daryl and Carol show, I am expecting an excellent musical episode. Complete with appearances from Christina Aguilera and Pink and Lil' Kim.
All right. Is it Lady Marmalade?
I mean, maybe we'll talk about it in just a second. But before we do that, head on over to cinemageekly.com where you can check out the archives of the show. And of course, this is a listener-supported podcast. And there are a couple ways you can help out there if you'd like. We have a Patreon, patreon.com/cinemageekly, and our merch store, geeklymerch.com. Links for those are in the show notes for this episode. And of course, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, Pocket Casts, anywhere you find a good podcast. Just search for Hear the Walking Dead, hit subscribe, and that way you can join us where we will talk about more season 2 of The Walking Dead, Daryl Dixon, The Book of Carol, called Moulin Rouge.